And if you've ever felt guilt for anything, if you maybe you've had that feeling of disappointing a parent, a father, maybe that feeling of having disappointed a spouse, or even that feeling of disappointing God, then this sermon is for you. Let's pray and read God's word. We're actually going to look at two sermons that Peter preaches. This one in Acts 2, and then there's another one in Acts 3. So let's pray. God, would you open up your word to us this morning? I know John just prayed, but we just say, we declare that we can't understand your word unless your spirit helps us. So as we open your word, would you open our hearts with it? And would you speak just the word that we each need to hear? In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 2, verses 22 to 23, and then 37 to 38. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Now, that's for one crowd, Peter preaching. And then in Acts 3, he preaches another message. He just healed a crippled man, and a crowd of people begin to gather around him, and he's with John. Verse 12, when Peter saw this, he said to them, when he saw the crowd forming, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life." Imagine that. You killed the author of life. What a phrase. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." And then this sermon concludes, and Peter and John, they're put into prison. And the religious leaders, they're concerned about what to do about the political backlash. And so they say, "What are we going to do with these men? Like, we need to do something." And that's their question. And so that's where we're going to leave off for the end of our reading. Today we're talking about guilt. There are people today who deny the concept of sin, and they believe it's just unproductive and dysfunctional to feel any kind of guilt. For them, there's no right, no wrong. There's no one truth. It's all just like, hey, whatever works for you, man. Like, whatever works, as long as nobody gets hurt. But there's no such thing as nobody getting hurt. A glaring example is the racism that we've been horrified by recently, where a black man is just killed for walking down the street just for being black. And I lived in those neighborhoods when I was in the States for 4 years. The racism is bad. It's really bad. But we have our own issues in Canada. Today, there are 80,000 kids in the foster system, half of which are crown wards. So that means the province becomes their legal guardian. It's crazy, eh? Like as if a kid does anything to not deserve a father or mother, right? So societal guilt is important to talk about, but guilt is also quite personal. So last week I was sitting with my friend Joe. Joe's a blue collar guy. I've changed his name to protect his identity. And he had a beer in his hand, which is usually a good time to have a conversation with him when he has a beer in his hand. and curious, I asked him, in your mind, what good is the church to society today? And so again, Joe's an atheist. So this is why his response, it really struck me. He said, we all have done things which we know are wrong and which we're horribly ashamed of. And the church, it helps people to deal with that. And so just hearing that from my friend, it made me think, oh man, there's such a need out there, right? He said, we've all done things which we know are wrong and which we're horribly ashamed of. The church helps people deal with that. And so there was a rare moment of, you know, deep kind of vulnerability from my friend. Can you remember the day when you looked in the mirror, and maybe it wasn't that long ago, and you had this conscious sense of the evil, not out there, but in here, like in your own heart? What did you do with that? What did you do when you saw that? There's a story about a man who walks into a restaurant. He orders a Coke, and as soon as he receives it, he throws it back in the waiter's face. So he receives a Coke, throws it in the waiter's face. The waiter's ready to fight, and the man says, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And he actually is sorry, and he says, "I have this compulsion. I can't help it. Whenever someone hands me a drink, I throw it in their face. Please forgive me." Then he says, "I'm working hard to overcome it. Would you please bring me another one?" And the waiter says, "Do you promise not to throw it in my face?" And the man responds, I'm going to do everything I can not to throw it in your face. Yes, I'm working really hard to resist." And the waiter says, "Okay, I'll bring you another one." So the waiter comes back with another Coke, and the guy throws it in the waiter's face. The waiter says, "I thought you said you wouldn't do that." He says, "Oh, this compulsion, it's so strong. I promise you that I'll check myself into an inpatient clinic to get some help. Forgive me. I'm so sorry." And the man felt genuine guilt. He felt genuine guilt and sorrow. So he checks himself into a clinic, and for 1 month, he gets this intense psychotherapy to deal with this compulsion. And when he gets out of the clinic, he goes back to the same restaurant. He walks in and he says, "I'm cured. Give me a drink." And the waiter says, "Wait a minute. I had to change my shirt last time you were here. Are you sure you're cured?" The guy says, "I know I'm cured. I promise." The waiter says, "Okay. If you're cured, I'll bring you a Coke." And so the waiter brings him a Coke. The guy looks at it and throws it right into the waiter's face. And the waiter says, "I thought you said you were cured." The guy says, "I am cured. I still have the compulsion. I just don't feel guilty about it anymore." And maybe you can laugh at that story, but you can see that one way of overcoming guilt is to just deny it, right? To not feel the guilt anymore, to convince ourselves we shouldn't feel guilty. There's two options for dealing with guilt, and we can actually see them in our Bible passages today. So first we'll look at Acts 3. We can deny and suppress our guilt, and then we'll look at Acts 2, where we can accept and deal with our guilt. So Acts 3, and if Joy can just put it up on the screen here, you can see there's this phrase, you know, "You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him. You killed the author of life." And then the response of the people is, and I have it in red there, what if you can scroll down there for a little bit. Yeah, Acts 3, or Acts 4, verse 16. What are we going to do with these men? So the men say, you disowned, you killed the author of life. They say, what are we going to do with these men? In other words, how do we shut them up? These are the guilt deniers. Now, in Acts 2, the crowd is different, but this time it's Peter again. And he says, you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. If you scroll down a little bit, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So in the Bible, we have the guilt deniers and the guilt acceptors. A good example of a guilt denier would be Adam in the Garden of Eden. He's discovered in his sin, and he says, the woman, it's her fault. She gave me the fruit. Classic guilt denier. And then in the Bible, you also have examples of the guilt acceptors, like these people in Acts 2. What must we do? And a good example would be David. You know, at first he was kind of a guilt denier with Bathsheba, but then he became a guilt acceptor and he came clean before God. Against you and you only have I sinned. So guilt deniers, guilt acceptors. So my friend Joe, when he says we've all done things we know are wrong and that we're horribly ashamed of, which category is he in? He's a guilt acceptor, but he's an atheist. There's one category maybe we've missed. What do you think? The grace receivers. So there's actually three categories: the guilt deniers, guilt acceptors, and grace receivers. What do the guilt acceptors do to become grace receivers? In our passage today, the guilt acceptors in chapter 2, they say, what must we do? And then if you check out in verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. So the grace acceptors repent. That's it. They repent. They don't need to put in 40 hours of community service to repent. They don't need to spend the rest of their days in a monastery to repent. They don't need to give half of all they own to the poor. They just need to admit their need for forgiveness. And that's it. And there's power in this forgiveness. I wish my friend Joe could discover this power. And I believe he will. See, forgiveness doesn't just fix our guilt problem in a mundane kind of way. The way, you know, let's say, Linda, you get a flat tire and you go to Mark Langendoon and he fixes it. And you can go on. You can go about just as you normally do, right? You got a guilt problem, forgiveness fixed, done. And you can just go about the way you normally do. That's not the way forgiveness works. Forgiveness, it transforms you from the inside. It changes everything. While driving, I heard this story. To her school, her high school one day, 16-year-old Shannon Etheridge ran over Marjorie Jarstfar, a woman who was just riding her bicycle on a country road. Marjorie died as a result. And Shannon, who was found completely at fault by the authorities, was just consumed, just racked by this guilt. She was so wrecked by the whole thing that she contemplated suicide many times. But she never took her life because of the healing response of one man, Gary, Marjorie's husband. Gary asked the attorney to drop all the charges against Shannon. Gary saved Shannon from the very, very likely guilty verdict. Instead, Gary asked that Shannon do one thing. Continue on in the footsteps that his wife would have taken. He said, you can't let this ruin your life. God wants to strengthen you through this. In fact, I'm passing Marjorie's legacy on to you. That was more than 20 years ago. So today, Shannon has Marjorie's legacy. You can actually Google her name, Shannon Etheridge, and you'll see a book title comes up, and it's completely his, Loving Jesus Without Limits, that helps people overcome their guilt-ridden lives. On the cross, God said the same thing that Gary said to 16-year-old Shannon. I can't let this guilt ruin your life. See, at the cross, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him, in believing in Jesus, you can be righteous, holy, and pure. You say, yeah, but I haven't come to the village for a long time, and I feel guilty still. I still live in this guilt. And I didn't run over a Marjorie, but I still feel this guilt. Little things, big things, things 10 years ago, things last week, things I can't really understand why I feel guilty about them, but I live in this guilt. And do you realize you're kind of living like an atheist? You're living like an atheist. You're living like my friend Joe. If you carry on in your guilt, then the cross has no meaning. If you're just living in it, if you're just always in the background, if you're always nagged by that feeling of you know, not measuring up, that feeling of not quite being approved of, if you're still kind of living with that guilt, then you're living like an atheist, and the cross has no meaning. The substance of Christianity, like the very heart of it, is that you are forgiven of your sin. You need to live in that forgiveness. It's a choice. It's a gift Christ bought for you. I didn't plan on saying this, but Noelle, the other day I had to confess something to her. And I'd been kind of living with the guilt of it. And it was just weighing me down. It was inhibiting our relationship a bit, but not. It was kind of in the background, just there. And I shared it with her. And then I was able to live in that. She just received it and she's forgave. And I was able to really live in that forgiveness that I'm sure she'd forgiven me of way back, but I was living in it. And so you and I, we need to live in the forgiveness. It's a gift that Christ has bought for us. Just like Gary said to Shannon, I can't let this guilt ruin your life. God has said to you, I can't let your guilt ruin your life. You have a God who says, I'm passing my son's legacy onto you. The legacy of Jesus Christ has been passed on to you. In Christ, you are holy and you are dearly loved. You are seen. You have the righteousness of God because of Jesus. He took your sin, you take his righteousness. You are seen, you are forgiven, you are covered, you are loved. How does it feel? How does it feel to be forgiven? How does it feel? Let's pray. Father, thank you for seeing us right to the bottom, seeing everything about us, and still loving us. Father, on this Father's Day, we thank you for the forgiveness that you have brought to us through your Son. We thank you that it's not just like you fixing a flat tire and letting us go on your way. We thank you for how your forgiveness transforms us, mostly for how it shows us your heart. We love you. Thank you for being our good, good Father. It's through Christ we pray. Amen.